Turn with me to Matthew 16, verses 13 through 16. Today I'm going to teach more than actually preach. And lately I'm learning not to, yeah. I just don't have the lung capacity anymore. Amen. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 16. Amen. By the way, are you all noticing little changes that we're making? Have you all noticed little changes that we're making in the sanctuary? Not just in our delivery system and in the worship. Are you seeing the difference? Amen. We're taking baby steps towards something real big. And we're just weeks away. Amen. And so we're going to be talking about that in a couple of weeks to come. Amen. But I guarantee you, in less than 4 weeks, you're going to see huge changes. Amen. And so Matthew 16, verses 13 through 16. And it says this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" You notice the difference in the question? Who do people say I am? And now he's directing his question right to his disciples. "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You read the life of Jesus, and you will see that before Jesus taught, the Bible says, and he sat. So in the Jewish culture, whenever you have, unlike us, when we have something important to say, we want to stand up, we want to be seen. But in the Jewish culture, they sit. And so you might be thinking right now is, okay, so Bishop said that we're going to begin to teach on breaking the curses, breaking the curse over your finances. And you might be thinking, okay, so what does this verse has to do with anything over my finances? Or even the word curse doesn't even appear there. We're going to address that in a few moments. I want you to know, beloved, that the world operates over this simple principle. Blessings or curses. The world operates under this simple principle. Blessings or curses. You are either living under the umbrella of God's blessings, or you're living under a curse. I don't care. I'm not concerned whether you believe me or not. It is just a simple truth. We are either living under God's continual blessing, or how I like to call it, his umbrella of blessings, or you're living under a curse. There are 10 curses that block the blessings of God upon your life. There are 10 curses that literally block the blessings upon your life. God desires to bless you, but there are curses that are operating in your life that keep the blessings of God at bay. I'm going to name the 10 curses. One, the power of words. Evil speaking. Be careful what you say. The Bible says you reap what you sow. That thing that you're criticizing, that family that you're criticizing, be careful because you reap what you sow. I want to say that again since I stirred a little bit. Those people that you're criticizing, that family that you're criticizing, be careful because you reap what you sow. That thing that you're criticizing will begin to manifest in your life or in your family. Evil speaking. Be careful who you curse. Be careful how you speak to your children. Be careful what you're saying. You have to be mindful because there's life and death. What? So you can either bless somebody or you can curse somebody. You can either bless yourself or you can curse yourself. Sometimes we have a habit of saying, as soon as something goes wrong, why me? You're just speaking problems into your life. Some of you say, I don't ever see myself getting out of this mess. I'm in such a mess, guess what? You'll never get out. Be careful how you speak to your children because your children will prove your words right. You keep telling your child you're a bum, you're nothing, you're a nobody. When he grows up, he'll be a bum, a nothing, and a nobody. If I can't get an amen, at least say ouch. Unforgiveness. Legalism. Religious spirits. Idolatry. Witchcraft, gossip, racism, not tithing, not honoring your mother and father. Now, the young folks that are here, I need you to understand that honoring your father and your mother doesn't mean that you have to agree with it. You don't even have to like what they say, but you are always to honor them. You have to live. See, the word honor, say it with me, honor, means to make someone proud. The dad that raised me died 55 years ago. I was just 19 years old. 35. I rebuke that. 35 years later, I'm still living in a way that brings honor to my father. Not honoring your father and mother will bring a curse upon your life. And number 10, the shedding of innocent blood. And that's a big one. Because the Bible says that's one thing that God despises is the shedding of innocent blood. If you don't understand what that literally means abortion. And there are people that have grown up but are still dealing with that curse of decisions that they made years ago. And then live with that pain and that sorrow. But I've been anointed to set you free. We're going to be speaking about all these things. Not today, but as time goes on. Beloved, you might be saved, but still living under a curse. You might be saved, but still living under a curse. As a matter of fact, some of us might be going through some unnecessary hardships. Did you hear the word? Unnecessary hardships. Things going wrong in your life. It seems like it keeps repeating itself. Like, okay, didn't I just take care of this? And all of a sudden now it's back again. And it keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back. And no matter what you do, trying to resolve the issue or the problem, it always keeps coming back. Some of us are facing unnecessary family problems, health problems that are in your history or family bloodline. And you think that there's nothing that you can do about it. Watch this. Because your great-grandmother died of breast cancer and your grandmother died of breast cancer, your mother has breast cancer, your auntie has breast cancer, that doesn't mean that you're going to have breast cancer. See, these are generational curses, and we can break that. Here's another thing. Grandpa was a jailbird. Papa is a jailbird. The son is a jailbird. And now the grandson is. These are generational curses. And they can be broken. Somebody give God some praise. Poverty is also a curse. Many years ago, I was the housing commissioner for the city. And one of my responsibilities was to look over the projects. Everyone's heard about the projects, right? Now, projects were designed to give people a second chance. People that had gone through some difficulties, and they were designed to give people a second chance. You go in there for a little while, you pay lower rent, It is an assistance to help to reestablish yourself. And within 2 years, you're supposed to transition out. When I became the housing commissioner, I started looking at this, and I found that there were people in the housing authority or living in the projects that were paying at that time $700 to $800 a month. And they were afraid, somebody say afraid, to move out because they thought that they couldn't survive outside of the project. And I pulled them into my office so many times, and I said, if you can pay $700 to $800 a month, I'm going back to the 90s, you can buy a house. You can pay a mortgage. Because at the time, the average mortgage was $200 or $300. But they couldn't see it. It was a place to come and reestablish yourself. But what has happened, that in it was 75 years already, that now there was generations living there. They never moved out of the projects. It became a curse upon generations. Their great-grandparents moved in there in the 50s, and now in the now their parents grew up in the 60s, and they stayed there. In the 70s, they grew up and they stayed there, and now it was the 80s, and now you had the third generation, and they never moved out of the projects. These are curses that can be broken. Things that I have described, and including some of your financial problems, are generational curses. I'm not saying that all of your financial problems are curses, but we're going to be speaking specifically on certain areas. So we are either living under God's umbrella of blessings, or you're still living under the curses. I don't know about you, but I want to live under God's continual umbrella of blessings. What about you? I want to live continually under the umbrella of God's blessings. As I said to you, I think it was last week, someone said to me 2 or 3 weeks ago, said, Pastor, you look blessed. And I said, yes, I am. I know how to live under God's continual blessing. And I know when I have moved out of God's continual blessing. When something goes wrong in my life, I always examine, okay, what did I say? What did I do? What did I touch? To stop the blessings of God from following me everywhere I go. Do you know, first of all, you need to be convinced that God loves you and he wants to bless you. Last time I checked, your Bible says, I know the plans that I have for you, that I have for you. Plans to bless you, to prosper, and not to harm you. God doesn't want to harm you. The harm you bring it upon yourself. So you have to become convinced that God loves me and he wants me to be blessed. He wants me to do well. He wants me to live well. God already took your place at the cross. We are not good representatives of the kingdom of God. We are ambassadors. A direct representation of the kingdom of God. When people look at you, they're looking at the kingdom of God. And so you mean that God wants us down and out to represent this kingdom? God wants us to do well, to live well. And believe me, I am not saying that you're all going to have your own jet planes and become millionaires. No, no, no. The Bible says he will provide for our needs daily. God provides for my need daily. Even when I don't even know I have a need, God provides. It's like, whoa, and all of a sudden, there's a need. Look at this. Look how God provided. I don't have lack in my life. I don't have lack in my life because every time something comes up, God always makes a way. Understand, beloved, that you might be living under a curse, but that doesn't mean that you are a bad person. What it means is that you are a real person living in the real world that has real problems and that it operates on this simple principle of blessings or curses. Hosea 4 and 6 says this, my people perish for lack of knowledge. See, some of you are might be going through some hardships because no one taught you. No one exposed this to you. Nobody brought this to your attention. I want you to know that I wasn't always like this. There was times in my life where I went through some unnecessary. Somebody say unnecessary. See, storms are going to come. Storms of troubles are going to come. We will stumble at times. There are times that we're going to soar like eagles and times we're not doing so well. We're going to have seasons of plenty and seasons of rain. We're going to have those moments. But there are some unnecessary stuff that God never intended for us to go through. And so I went through some unnecessary hardship because no one taught me. No one explained it to me. See, the good news is that Jesus provided a way out in the removal of the curses that are upon our lives that were brought upon because of our sin. Let me say this again. Everything is not dark and gloomy. Jesus, on the way to the cross, provided a way out, a removal of the curses that are upon our lives that were brought upon by the sin on our lives. God is able to restore your health. God is able to restore your wealth. That what the enemy has stolen from you. Because from you, God has stolen, the enemy has stolen your money, your finances, has robbed you of your home, of your peace. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Some of us, God has, the enemy has stole our children, robbed us of the joy of our grandchildren. But God is able to restore our health and your wealth. He can end the cycle of abuse and the violence in your life. He can set you free from generational curses and bring your children back to Christ. Well, I'm glad I got two people excited about that. In verse 15, Jesus asked his disciples, what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Watch this. Watch this, because this is where you're going to get your aha moments. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is who he is. Let me say this again, because many Christians believe that Christ is Jesus' last name. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is who he is. Watch this, watch this, watch. The word Christ is the Greek word taken from the Hebrew word that means Messiah or Messiah. The word Messiah, say it with me, Messiah or Messiah, means the anointed one of God. The one that comes to break the yokes and to set the captives free. So when you say Jesus, see, it really is Jesus the Christ, the anointed one of God, the one that came to break the yokes and to set the captives free. This is why Jesus got all happy and excited. He said, blessed are you, Peter, by Jonah, for no man has shown you this, but my Father has shown you this. And listen, then he said this, whatever you, I'll give you the keys, right? The keys, so whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He wasn't giving Peter the keys to the church. No. He gave him the keys. Watch this. Keys, more than one. If he gave him the keys, that implies that the lock is on our side of heaven. See, the thing is that God gave us keys. Somebody say keys. We have forgotten how to use the keys. And he goes on to say, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Oh, y'all don't know where I'm going with this. Because if you had an idea, you'd be shouting right about now. The word yoke, somebody say yoke, is a device used on the neck of animals. Used to bind or to tie, okay, to keep them under bondage or subjugation. Jesus the Christ, the anointed one of God, came to break the yokes and to set the captives free. Somebody needs to shout. Jesus, the anointed one of God, provided a way out of these yokes. Just in case you don't know what the word yoke means, literally means curse. Keeps us bound, keeps us tied, keeps us enslaved to. We can believe God, watch this, we can believe God and apply the blood for salvation. But no one teaches that we need to apply the blood in other areas of our lives. Let me say this again. We teach about the blood. And Jesus shed his blood for your salvation. And that's all we teach. We never teach that we need to apply the blood in other areas of our lives. Because if you can learn how to apply the blood in other areas of your life, it will provide the removing of the curse or the yokes that are upon our lives, which block the blessings of God. Let me say this again. We come to the cross, we apply the blood, and we're what? Our slate is what? Wiped clean. We are saved. But no one teaches you that now you need to apply the blood in other areas of your life. And if you can learn this and you can apply the blood, you will break the yoke, the curses that are upon different areas of your life. Somebody give God some praise. And so understanding this, we can be saved. We can be saved, but never experiencing the total promises of God over our lives. You can be saved, but never experiencing his total glory. All that God has for you. This is why you can be saved, but still sickened. You can be saved, but still having lack in your life. You can be saved, but still bound to sin. How many folks are in church and they're praising God and they're worshiping and they're speaking in tongues, but as soon as they're out, they can't seem to stay away from temptation now. And so today we want to talk specifically about your money. The first thing I want to tell you is Christians, when they hear a sermon or a teaching about money, all of a sudden they get all squeamish. Let me assure you, I'm not interested in your money. I'm not interested in your money. I don't want to know and I don't care about how much or how little you make. God has always provided for this ministry. God has always provided for me, period. I am interested in setting you free. I am interested that you would experience everything that God has for you. I'm not interested in getting your money. I am not. Those of you that have known me for some time, you all know that. Because my God... And so, because of the hurts and the disappointments of our past, we get all squeamish when we hear sermons or teachings on money. Somebody lied to us and it's embedded in us that, oh, he's just after my money. He just needs to raise more money. When we had no money, God still provided for this ministry. Somebody needs to give God some praise. So I need you now to sit back and relax. And I need you to chill and soak this stuff in. Because I'm interested in blessing you. I'm interested in setting you free. Because some of us are going through some unnecessary stuff. And you are literally hindering or stopping God's blessings to pour out upon your life. The first thing I want you to know is that the Bible speaks more about money. Your Bible speaks more about money than it does about hell. The Word of God speaks more about about the subject of money than it does about heaven. Jesus taught more on money, on finances, more than anything else. Did you all know that? And so, this message might not be for everybody, but it's for somebody. Now, if you're giving your tithe, if you are a tither in the house of God, and you are giving your tithe according, the reason I'm making this statement is because God won't bless your mess. God won't bless your mess. But you can pray and scream all you want, and God won't hear you. The psalmist says, "For if I what? Sin in my heart." That means unconfessed sin. God will not answer. God will not. So if there's unconfessed sin in your life, you can quote scripture all day. You can cry all night. You can say, "Oh Lord, why don't you?" And God will not answer. No one's prayer will cause God to move on your behalf as long as you have unconfessed sin in your life. And so if you are a tither, if you're giving tithe, the whole tithe meaning the way God says to you, first fruits, the first off the top, the best, that you have set it off as holy, sacred. In other words, we think about tithe when we come to the church. Oh, we spend the money, we pay our bills, we misspend our money. All of a sudden now we say, "Oh, okay, I forgot about the tithe." That's not honoring God. Honoring God is taking the tithe when you get your increase, whether it's once a month, every week, or bi-weekly, and you set your tithe aside as holy. You don't use it for anything else, but simply for the house of God. You bring it before the presence of God. If you're giving your tithe according to the Word of God, what? God loves a cheerful giver, right? He wants to be first fruits, right? The best. If you're giving it the way the Word of God says, because there are tithers, there are people that tithe, but they don't give it the way God desires for you to give. And are you bringing it according to Malachi chapter 3? And you're not experiencing the overflow. Somebody say overflow. Promise in scripture in verse 10. It says, "See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you will not have enough room to hold it." I'm going to ask this question simply. Tithers, how many of you are experiencing that type of blessing? If you're not, that's fine. Because that's what I'm here to set you free. You see, don't expect that if you're going to give 100, God's going to give you back 1,000. No, but listen, God has a way of paying you back. God has, I told you that a few weeks ago. We were out to eat and I realized I didn't have no money. And I didn't sweat. I didn't even tell my wife. And I'm out there in the salad bar, and all of a sudden, there's someone there and says, "I've been meaning to come by and give you something. I've been holding this for, what was it, a week, 2 weeks? I've been holding it, and God said, I have to give it to you." She says, "Don't go, I'll be right back." I didn't even think. She comes back and she goes, "This is for you, for you." I go back and I sit at the table and I go, "Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. And pay for the milk and some." Somebody give God some praise. So if you're giving, but you're not receiving the promise that is promised to us in the Word of God, if you're giving your tithe, but you're not seeing that overflow, and you're giving to God, you know, and you're still struggling, then you might have to examine yourself and see if there is something blocking the blessing. Because the Word of God says that God is not man that he should lie, that his word does not return void. That God is what answers what? Yes and amen. So it's not on God's behalf that if you're giving according to the Word of God, and if you're not seeing that promised return, it's not because God shut off the switch. There's something in our lives that is blocking the blessings. Go with me to Mark 15. Mark 15. Verses 16 and 19. Now we're going to get rolling here, okay? Jesus had just got flogged. Watch this. The soldiers. Are you there? Are you there? Okay. The soldiers led Jesus away to the palace and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him. Then they twisted together a what? They twisted together a what? A what? A crown of thorns. Remember that. Underline that. Highlight that. Write it down on your notes. A crown. The soldiers, what, had just flogged them, right? They removed his clothes. They put on a purple robe. And then they reached over and they grabbed a thorn bush. And they tore out a branch and they weaved together a crown made of thorns. We all heard this, right? Watch this. I'm going to blow your mind. And they set it on him and they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Again and again they struck him in the head with a staff and they spat on him. Watch this. They put the crown on his head, the crown of thorns. You guys got to remember this. Watch this. Watch this visual. They had flogged him. They took off his clothes and they put on a purple robe. One of the soldiers reached over, grabbed what? From a thorn bush, right? Grabbed the branch, broke it, weaved together a crown of thorns. They placed it upon his head. Then they took a staff and they beat it into his head. That means the thorns what? Broke skin. They cut into his head. Turn with me to Genesis. Quickly, turn with me to Genesis. See, to understand this, to understand, we always have to go back to Genesis. We got to go back to Genesis. Let's see what Genesis says about the thorns. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Now, man had sinned, right? Let me catch you up. Man had sinned. They had eaten the fruit. Now God was quickly dealing with the sin. I want you to know that when you sin, God immediately begins to deal with your sin. God immediately begins to deal with your sin. Watch this. Ready? This is God speaking to Adam. He said, "Because you listened to your wife and you ate from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Curse." Somebody say curse. Curse, that's the first time you read curse in the Bible. Cursed is the ground because of you. Why is the ground cursed? Because of our sin. Watch this. Through what pain and toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce what? Thorns. There you go. Did you all get that? Isn't that the same bush that the Roman soldiers You following this? Let's read this again. Watch this. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you ate of it, and you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since you were taken. For dust you are, and to the dust you return. Watch this. Watch this. God created heaven, placed us here. Watch this. Everything we needed is already been provided for us. Perfect living condition. Now, people say that it is because of Adam's sin or the curses that we work. We have always worked. If you go back a little bit further, back in time, in Genesis, you will see that God placed man in the garden to care for it. And he says to man, have dominion over the creatures of the sea, the land, the air. So guess this, we have always worked. We have always worked. Working was not the result of our sin. This is the result of the sin. Watch this. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. And it will produce thorns and thistles. So watch this. When God cursed the ground produced thorns and thistles. The crown of thorns, or the thorn, is symbolic, or the symbol, or the result of the curse. Did you get it? Curse is the ground. Now the ground began to produce what? Thorns. Those thorns represent the curse that was put on the ground. What is the curse? Watch this. Through painful toil, what was once easy, now it's not. Now it's difficult. What was once enjoyable, now it's not. Did you get that? What was Adam was doing, what that was enjoyable at one time, now it's no longer enjoyable. I don't care how much money you make, how many of you say, I love my job. What was once enjoyable, now it's not. You're going to have to work harder now. Now, you're going to have to eat of it. Did you get that? Now you have to eat of it. Before, God provided everything. Now, through painful toil, now you will eat of it. That is the curse. That is the curse of not enough. This is the curse of not enough. That's why no matter how much money you make, how well you try to budget, it's never enough. It's never enough. Am I speaking to anybody here today? Doesn't matter if you make $1,000 a week or $5,000 a month. It's never enough. Through painful toil, you have to work hard. You really got to sweat at this. And by the time you get it home, it's just about gone. Bills are eating it up. Bills eat up over 60% of your, and the rest goes in groceries. And even more so if you have children. Watch this. Then he says in verse 19, by the sweat of your brow, This is what it means. Watch this. What God did was this. Watch. By the sweat of your brow. When a Hebrew man does this, you know what that means? You're on your own. By the sweat of your brow. What was once easy, now it's not. What was once plentiful, now it's never enough. And on top of that, you're on your own. You're on your own. The good news is here is that when Jesus took on the crown of thorns, the soldiers beat it into his head. Blood, someone say blood, was shed upon the curse. Those thorns that broke into Jesus' forehead, that represents the curse of not enough. That blood was shed upon that curse. Watch this. Jesus emptied himself at the cross. Right? He shed his blood at the cross for our sins. Right? But on the way to the cross, he also shed blood. It's also known the stations of the cross. And everywhere that Jesus shed blood, it was providing a way out of the curses that are upon our lives. See, we all talk about what Isaiah said, by his stripes we are healed. His stripes was not on the cross. So our healing came where? Isaiah said he was wounded. He was bruised. Bruised means bleeding on the inside, internal bleeding. That internal, see, that bleeding on the outside represents your body's healing. But that bruising, that bleeding on the inside represents your inner healing. See, we're taught about having faith, about coming to the cross and receiving salvation. But nobody teaches on applying the blood on different areas of your life. Jesus, on the way to the cross, provided removal of all these curses. At the whipping post, he provided healing for our body. At the whipping post, he provided healing for our... The inner healing also represents the broken pieces of our heart. Inner healing, emotional healing. At the whipping post. As he was led away and back into the palace to come see Pontius Pilate, there they took the curse of not enough. There the soldiers picked up the crown of thorns, weaved it into a crown, and they placed it upon his head. The curse of not enough, the curse of lack. Somebody needs to get this thing. And they placed it upon his head, and they took a wooden staff, and they beat that curse into his head. Remember, the Bible says that he became what? Cursed. He took on our curse. Oh my God. Joshua, I don't think you're getting it today. His blood removed the curse that was placed back in the garden. Jesus removed the curse of not enough. Jesus removed the curse of lack that is upon our lives on the way to the cross. Jesus took on that curse. What was once easy, now is hard. What was once enough, now it's not enough. He removed it. He provided an out. See, when we come to Jesus, we are led in the sinner's prayer. We say, I wash myself in the blood of the Lamb. We wash ourselves in the shed blood at the cross that is able to wash us what? As white as snow. You see, we can believe God for that. We can believe God for a healing, but nobody never teaches on healing. No one teaches you about the back of the cross. No one teaches you that as you come to the cross to receive salvation and you apply the blood for salvation, then you need to apply that same blood for your healing. Nobody teaches that. They just teach you to proclaim it. Oh, I'm healed. But how many of you say, I'm healed, but still going through some sickness? You need to apply the blood. Many of us are giving the tithe according to the word of God and yet are not seeing the return. Still having lack in their life. Still having not enough. Still always robbing Peter to pay Paul. But you're faithful in your tithe. But yet God is not man that he should lie. So the problem is that we're still operating or living under the curse of lack, of the curse of not enough. And what you need to do is apply the blood over your finances, and thus removing the curse over your life. Somebody give God some shout of praise. See, it's not that difficult. It's not that hard. All you have to do is believe. You have to believe Jesus was for salvation. You have to believe Jesus for your healing. You have to believe Jesus for your deliverance. You have to believe Jesus for the blessing, for the removal of the curses that are upon our lives. It was a prayer of salvation you prayed and you believe God for. And it is the prayer of faith that is required to remove the curse that has been blocking the blessings of God upon your life. Beloved, remember Jesus said this: whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I'm going to say this the way, if Jesus was here with us today, live in person, speaking our language, he would simply say, whatever you don't allow, won't be allowed. But whatever you allow, will be allowed. See, we're guilty of allowing the wrong things and not allowing what God wants to do. Today you can believe God for the removal of the curse of lack that is upon your life. Watch this. We can remove that curse. You can remove that curse, but by your inactivity. Watch this. Isaiah says, if you're willing and obedient, I will give you. So if we become disobedient, right? If you're not willing, then guess what happens? It doesn't come. See, Malachi says, you rob me of my tithe and offerings. See, we're not robbing God, because if we were really to rob God, then he would be God. What that literally means is that we're robbing him of the opportunity to prove himself to you. That's what that means. See if I will pour open the windows of heaven. As I said last week, we have a show-off God. He likes to show up and he likes to show off. How many of us were blessed today? Hallelujah. Did God speak to any one of you today?